for black people who want justice. I'm for white people who want justice. I'm for Indian people who want justice. I'm for Latino people who want justice. I want a better world. And I don't disrespect black people with that word.
This podcast was recorded for the New African Black Panther Party by New Jersey Revolution Radio as part of our partnering organization programs. To learn more about New Jersey Revolution Radio, visit us on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com.
All right, so all power to the people.
All power to the people.
So this is the second half of a wonderful act. This half is going to be different. We're going to get into some ideology. It may bore some folk, but we got to get into it. You know? And we're going to talk about revolutionary intercommunalism. This was an ideology that was founded by Huey P. Newton in 1970. He refined it in 1971. And this ideology specifically deals with how to confront the world that we live in today, how to come up with ways of dealing with the contradictions that people around the world are struggling with. And so I invited Professor Cappy Pinderhughes, Charles Cappy Pinderhughes, to come today. He was a member of the New Haven chapter of the Black Panther Party when it was struck by the J. Edgar Hoover and decimated, its ranks was decimated. And he's going to give us his take on revolutionary intercommunalism. You know, because we have this maximum within this maxim in the movement, and Mao Zedong laid it out for us. He said, let 100 what bloom? Ideas.
Flowers.
Let it bloom. So I don't care what kind of idea you have. We know that pantherism is impenetrable. We know that pantherism is mesmerizing. We know that pantherism breaks down barriers. And it's done it all around the world. You know, if we just talk about the international section in Algeria, we talk about the British Black Panthers. Here's one for some of my comrades. What about the Israeli Black Panthers? What about the Australian Black Panthers? What about the Indian Black Panthers? So pantherism has been all around the world, and it shook up and made quibble in their boots ruling classes that sought to deny the humanity of the masses of the people. And so he's going to talk about that. But before we bring him up, and I apologize again, comrade, we want to invite, and keeping with this tradition of opening the floor up to anyone who had anything they want to say, as long as it's constructive, we're going to invite the Nation of Islam up to give us a few words. Come on up here, brothers.
Thank you. In the name one, in the name of the one and true creator of the heavens and the universe, I'd like to greet all of us with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum. All that means is peace be unto you. I am a representative of the Nation of Islam under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and under the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. One thing that we're taught is that nothing is more important than a made-up mind, or nothing is more powerful than a made-up mind. So whenever we come to events like this, you know, it's an excellent and wonderful thing. You know, these things, I think we should give our brothers of the Black Panther because we as members of our communities have to come together to make our communities a safe and a decent place to live. Wherever we live, one of the biggest things that we must do is not rely on another person or another individual to come from outside to help and clean up our communities. That responsibility is on ourselves. But in order to do that, we must first start with cleaning up our minds. Cleaning up our minds. It starts in our minds. As a man, Jesus said in the Bible, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man or a woman thinketh, so are we. So I wanted to introduce to us something called the Final Call newspaper. How many of us are familiar with the story of what happened to our brother Nipsey Hussle? Now, our brother was a strong, revolutionary brother. Our brother was a member of the neighborhood Crip gang in Los Angeles, California, but he wasn't the stereotypical gangbanger that the world likes to show. This was a brother, excuse me, he was in 60, right? He wasn't the stereotypical gangbanger that the world likes to show. He was an example of the root from which the gang started. The Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam and all of the work that we did gave birth to the street organizations. Now we have our brothers from Open here.
That's right. Come on, brother. You understand what I'm saying? Let's get them down.
So it's not about gang banging or saying I'm this, you're that. It's about all of us coming together and becoming one. Right. So we could stop the RIPs. You understand what I'm saying? So we could stop hating each other or hating ourselves, which then causes us to hate one another.
Right.
We must unite. All right, brothers and sisters? But we didn't really come here to preach. We really didn't come here to teach. But we thank you for your time. And we'd like to greet you as we came before you with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you.
You know, it never amazes me. It never amazes me when I meet a fruit of Islam brother. Because I encounter these cats in the prison system. And they're just that way amongst vicious, hardcore mentalities. You can always find a Nation of Islam, brother. There ain't no joke now. Don't mistake their humbleness for weakness.
Right.
But they're that way. All of them. Every last one. That's what I'm like. Do they carbon copy these dudes? Because they all talk the same way. They're so humble, so nice, and so clean. I used to wear my hair that way for a lot of y'all young folk. I used to have a lot of waves then, back in the day. Yeah. So it's a wonder to be working with these individuals. Hopefully in the future, like they said, we can work together to clean up our communities because it's not going to take one organization.
That's right.
You know, and if anybody tell you they got the answers solely, then they're lying to you. You know, because it's going to take a multi-pronged attack to deal with all of these issues that we have to confront. Because we're dealing with an international ruling class. You know, let me tell you something. And I said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. 1,676 billionaires control 99% of the world's resources. Catch that. Only 1,000 people controls all of the wealth of this world. 1,000. So we all working for those 1,000 individuals. Jeff Bezos got $170 billion. Jeff Bezos, what a man. That's more money than probably two or three countries in Latin America. Think about that. $170 billion. One man. One man. Who want to live in a world where 1,000 people can control the destiny about our very lives? I think the resources belong to everybody.
That's right.
And with that, I want to recognize our own little Bobby Hutton. He's only 12 years old, but he's going to get there. He's working. He's been back there making an organization a lot of money. Stand on up, now, man. He's going to talk about revolutionary intercommunalism, which is the ideology we go by today. He's going to explain why he finds holes in it. And it's wonderful that we have these two sides of a debate, you know, because it helps us sharpen our intellectual skills. And we're not afraid of ideas. In fact, Karl Marx said, never be afraid to proclaim your ideas. Screaming from the rooftops all around the world. And that's what we do. And we welcome oppositional ideas, even though he's not an oppositional force. But he want to help us improve what revolutionary intercommunalism could be, or maybe he want us to get rid of it. I don't know. Let's hear what he had to say. Come on up, Conrad.
Thank you very much. First, I have to correct a few things. My name is Pinder Hughes. Pinder and Hughes put together. It's an African-American name. My great-grandmother put it together. She was the fourth in the family that did that. Secondly, I was in the second wave to come into New Hampshire, so that the entire chapter was busted due to the machinations of a police agent by the name of Alex Rackley. And Bobby Seale had come through the previous week, so he was busted too. So that we had, you know, the whole chapter and the chairman were on trial for their lives. And so I was working in Boston, in the Boston Panthers. I had just joined full time doing information work. And they asked me to move down there. And when I got there, I found out not only a community worker anymore, I was a full Panther, but I was lieutenant of information of the New Haven chapter. I'm known for the information, written information work that I do. I'm not a charismatic speaker like some of the folks you've seen today, but I will do my best with this situation and this topic. I have how much time?
I've got 10 minutes.
Wow. Now, how are we going to do an ideological issue in 10 minutes? Okay, I have given talks on the political lessons of the Black Panther Party and dozens of campuses around the country. So I have, and as a result of that, I've realized I realized I needed a tool to explain what part of the Black Panther Party experience we need to talk about and what we may maybe not want to talk about. And that plays a big role in understanding this question of the value or non-value of intercommunalism. So one problem is I was told there were 30 people here. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I have quite enough. So I'm going to ask that anybody from a household, not, you know, just one person per household, if you came with a friend, take that, and you'll notice that each of these handouts has my email at the on it. It's changeagent7@gmail.com. Would you hand these out? Make sure everybody can get it. And you also, brother, thank you. If you can, thank you. Why is this periodization important? Okay, because as Mumia Abu-Jamal says, there's many Black Panther parties in time and space. Okay, so that the question, if you're drawing on this question, who are we talking about? I told you about New Haven. Boston never had a major bust. So they did not have some of the trials and tribulations that Chicago and Philly and New York and New Haven had. The history of that chapter was different. So what this shows you is that I boiled this down into four major periods. The period separated by major period transforming events. From founding revolutionary period to the national revolutionary period is, on the right, Huey's first trial. The propagandizing of that meant that the news about the trial was national news on an almost daily basis during the summer of 68. The second is the expulsion or split, depends on which side of the situation you were on. I call it a split. I left actually 5 months before the split I left. But Even though we're in two chapters, international section in New York that were primarily involved in being expelled, 1,000 people left the party in the next year. That's a split to me. Then the that's the transition to the national period of decline. When Bobby Seale runs for mayor, the Panthers call for everybody available who can come to the Bay Area to come to run for mayor. The plan was to elect Bobby and then take the lessons and spread them around the country. They didn't have a plan B. Bobby Seale lost, and they never reconstituted most of the chapters that disappeared at that point again. So that explains how this goes. But there's other aspects. You have the dates. But their membership, you notice the membership. The membership peaked during the National Revolutionary period. And the most repression was during the National Revolutionary period. And the ideology was anti-colonial Marxism. Okay. The ideologies of the Black Panther Party handout tries to take you through the various ideas that the party was engaged in. Okay. So, left-wing nationalism from the beginning of the party, when they were first doing the community patrol police, etc., till early 68. Huey comes out with, he has a piece that was in the Panther Speaks, Black Panther Speak edited by Philip Froner, that was called Huey Newton Speaks to the Movement. Well, the movement was a West Coast mother country radical newspaper. And so, but in it, he very clearly is talking a lot about Fanon and Mao and so forth, openly. Okay. So that to me, that's a second sense, a more international stage of the left-wing nationalism. By the spring of 69, there's multiple instances of the party being trying to consolidate around Marxism-Leninism. And then Huey begins to announce intercommunalism in the fall of 70 and consolidates the party around it after the split. I'm very practice-based, okay? For me, the way I became a Marxist was, I was an activist. I was in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee for a couple of years before when I was in high school, went south. When I graduated high school to Arkansas the year after Cheney Goodman's Corona got killed. So I have history with that organization. I was a community. I have an organizing background. So when I left the party and I wanted to write a letter, I was looking at 8 years of organizing experience. I didn't realize that's what I was going to bring to bear. I wanted to make a few criticisms to the party. And I was going to write a 5-page letter, and I went to the Red Book. The Red Book is essential to start with, in my view, because it has good quotes that can be used in a lot of different situations, even our situations. Okay. I'm not going to tell you the story about it, but my first assignment in the party, I ended up using it, and it was a very useful experience. I went to the Red Book, and I started wondering what the context of the quotes were. I ended up reading myself back through the quotes through Mao, the selected works of Marx, Mao Zedong, through Stalin and Engels and Marx and Lenin. When I got to Hegel, I said, screw Hegel. So, but by that time, I was taking notes furiously, and I was interpolating all of my experiences that I'm talking about, and ended up with an 85-page paper of criticism and suggestion to Huey P. Newton and the Central Committee of the Black Panther Party. Now, they did not listen to that. Okay? But I had things like taking about probably 7 of the 10 points of the Black Panther 10-point platform and turning that into a united front platform that most people, even in NAACP, would be embarrassed to oppose. Yeah, you're letting people out of jail, not serving in the military, that those are kind of hard. But the, most of them were actually things that who in our community is going to oppose this? So I had things like that. I wanted to turn the black labor, the BLA, the party referenced in its literature, into a black labor army to proletarianize the lumpen, okay? To do political public work, so forth. So that to these, to me, that you know. So I think it's critically important that whatever experience you have, you use what I evolved the slogan to myself: a study to solve a problem. Okay, so you're looking at, so if you look at Marxism, whatever kind of Marxism you look at, you need to first say, well, what? How does it speak to my experience, and how does it speak to questions that I think are I'm thinking are important? Those are the key pointers of that. Okay. Now, in terms of intercommunalism, I don't think Huey Newton has many comments on rank and file Panther activity in his intercommunalist phase. Okay? Now, so you're going to end up finding Mao Zedong's Red Book more informative than the quotations from Huey Newton, which have never been published because it's never been put together. But I don't think it's going to be nearly as informative. Okay? I suppose I could go on, but I think that rather than trying to, you know, give a, I'll tell you one other story. I didn't know the shortcomings of internal colonialism I did my dissertation on that, and it's actually part of the 10th point of the Black Panther program. We want land, bread, education, clothing, housing, justice, and peace, and as our major political objective, a United Nations supervised plebiscite to be held throughout the black colony in which only black colonial subjects shall participate so as to determine the will of the black people as to their national destiny. And I went back and looked at internal colonialism, made it a much more vigorous argument for existing to this day. In the forms, of course, of ghettos, barrows, and reservations. Because anywhere the colonized live is part of the original colony that went, you know, it was either the land on the that the colonized resided or the settlers confiscated land. That's what the two parts of the colony in my mind. So, but anyway, maybe I should stop there. I'm drifting, but maybe there are some questions on the chart that you have. And keep in mind, you have my email. So I am glad to talk with you about any of these things after this as well. Okay? Yes.
Can you explain what intercommunalism is?
Okay. So intercommunalism is Huey's conception. I think that's a thank you. That's valid. I did not talk about it enough. It's Huey's conception of Marxism. Okay. In other words, it's Huey Newton's version of anti-colonial Marxism. I would categorize it there. Now, one of the problems you find is that Marxism has many schools. Okay? The two main schools that broke out, there's the transformational Marxism and the observational Marxism. Observational Marxists you're going to find in the colleges and so forth and so on, but they just have good ideas and other people like those good ideas, so it's a low standard. Transformation Marxism has a very high standard. Have you contributed fundamentally to revolutionary change? Okay, so I am not going to say that Huey meets that standard anyway. Okay, but so I'm saying that the anti-colonial Marxists, Mao Zedong, Ho Chi Minh, Milcar Cabral, Kwame Nkrumah, Frantz Fanon, they meet that standard in my view, and so that I strongly suggest. Those people are, and I consider anti-colonial Marxism to be an unrecognized additional stage past Marxism-Leninism. Okay? No, just because they're Marxists of color doesn't mean the fact that they advanced the Marxism and it's ignored by Europeans, some Europeans, doesn't mean that it has little value. It has great value. And the next stage is probably going to be something dealing with a neo-colonial. And that's another piece on going back to your question, intercommunalism. So the idea is that it was the first form of globalization theory, okay? Because you're saying, oh, the world is so small, we're only into interrelated communities now. The importance of nations is not there. Well, we know from the 49 years since Huey said that nations still have a very powerful role to play in the world, and so with throwing that was highly, highly, highly premature to drop that. In addition, intercommunalism, yes? You gotta go, see? This is why I'm saying this is an impossible task to talk about ideology with being the shortest amount of time for any of the speakers. So, but I'm willing to talk with you. I'm willing to talk with you. Email me.
Yeah.
Well, I want you to learn more. My mission is to mentor the next generations on the political lessons of the 60s and 70s. That's what I consider is important for me to do. That's why I did what I did.
Thank you for listening to this presentation by the New African Black Panther Party. You can learn more about them by going to Facebook and searching for New African Black Panther Party. Spell African, A-F-R-I-K-A-N. You can learn more about becoming a partnering organization with New Jersey Revolution Radio by visiting www.njrevolutionradio.com.